Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. And we're going to read verses 7 through 9. And here we go. If you have your cell phones on and pagers, faxers, scanners, put them on the off position. And I entitle this morning's message, Being a Watchman by Faith. Being a Watchman by Faith. And one of the things that we as believers have been watching these last 4 years was just that, what I just mentioned. There was a wickedness that was coming up across this nation. And I really believe many of us woke up. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And fasted and prayed. But God is saying, don't let your guard down just yet. Don't let it down just yet. Why? Because we are to continually be a watchman.
That's right.
Because how many believe Jesus is coming soon? Amen. Amen. So we still need to share with the unbelievers. We still need to share our faith. We still need to preach the gospel until Christ comes for us. Amen. We can never, never be comfortable. We have to be about our Father's business. So here we go, Ezekiel 33, 7 through 9, and it reads, So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them when I say to the wicked, Wicked man, oh wicked man, you shall surely die. And you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Whoa. What is God saying here? Look at verse 9. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. This is why. This is the most critical time right now in the history of our world, is we need to preach the gospel. Amen. Can I get amen?
Amen?
People need to hear Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, because he's the only hope. And doesn't it grieve your heart? Doesn't it make you grow weary at times when you know that a loved one died in their sins that didn't know Christ? It's a horrible feeling, isn't it? Because we know the end game to that person according to the scripture. Not according to us, but according to the scripture. And so we have to be about our Father's business. Amen? And so I'm hoping in this message that there will be an exhortation from God's word. And that's to be a watchman in the days that we live in. Because we know the days are evil. And we know the days are getting dark. Amen? And we cannot ever have a vision if we don't have a vision. Did you catch what I just said? We need to have a vision. And that vision is Jesus Christ and him crucified, letting people know that there's hope. How many people believe that we need hope in this world? Okay, and that hope only comes from Christ. Amen? So we have to have a vision. And our vision and watchfulness must be with the Lord. Look at King David wrote here in Psalms 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Wow. In other words, saints of God, if we cannot live that life before an unbelieving world, then who are we? Then it's in vain. This is why it's important that your life needs to be exhibited before them. In other words, you need to be on display for them. They need to see that hope. And that hope is in you because Christ, the glory, lives in you. Amen. Amen. If you're allowing the Lord of glory to have full control of your life, then guess what? Others will see that. And they will know that there is a God. Why? Because a lot of them used to know how you used to roll. That's right. Can I get an amen? Yeah. And you don't roll there no more. Mm-mm. Something's happened. And so, the great opportunity. Great opportunity to let them know, look what God has done for me. Amen. And look what He can do for you. Right. You see, my friends, God's word often refers to the Christian experience as a walk. A walk with Christ. And it's seldom as a run. We're not running. We're not running. We're headed. We're headed to the final prize. And that prize is in Christ. Amen? Praise God. And it's never a mad dash. There's a lot of people that get saved and they start running and doing things and then they suffer burnout. Pace yourself. Hallelujah. And have the zeal of the Lord. Have the Holy Ghost that lives in you be the strength of your life. Amen? Amen? So we can walk much better if we have our eyes open and have them upon Him. Amen. And how do we see God? We see Him two ways. Number one, we see Him through His Word. The Word is alive, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to reach down into the bone and marrow. And then secondly, we see the Holy Spirit living in you and me. Hallelujah. You know, I could be here forever telling you all the things I used to do before I got saved and how God had rescued me from that life. And now I don't have a desire for that no more. Why? Because of God's grace, of God's mercy, of God's love. Paul told Timothy a number of times to be watchful. Look what he says right here in 2 Timothy right up here. But you be watchful in all things. Tell your neighbor, be watchful.
Be watchful.
In all things. But look at this. Endure afflictions. We're going to be afflicted in this life. Can I get amen? Nobody promised us a rose garden. If someone told you, oh, you got saved now, your life is going to be joyous and it's going to be happy every day and you're on your way to glory. And then you woke up. That's a dream. As a believer, and if you take a believer and an unbeliever, set them together, they both get afflicted. They both go through conditions alive. They go through emotional roller coasters. The difference is one has the Holy Spirit, the hope of glory that'll take us into eternity. The other one is voided of the Holy Ghost. And if they reject Christ, they're headed to hell. We know that, right? Yes. But that's the only difference. We're going to go through. The Bible says God reigns on the just and the unjust. Meaning when we start getting the rainy season back, hopefully soon, He reigns what? God reigns on the neighbor next door. And they're not serving God. Matter of fact, they were up Friday night till 4 in the morning, blasting their music. You know, and we're here till about maybe 11, and we turn in, and we have to endure it. You know, because it's loud, and I'm not going to go over there and squawk and holler and tell them, hey, lower it down. Because I didn't want no one to do that to me. When I was in my heyday, remember? I want them to know that I respect them. And I spoke to him the other day. I said, hey, I heard you guys were loud. I go, was somebody going to fight out there? He goes, yeah, someone got hot. I go, you need to tell your people that you've opened a place for them to party. Tell them to learn how to respect your home. Yeah. He goes, yeah, man, you're right. You know, I told him, don't worry, I wasn't going to call the cops on you. I don't roll like that. I wouldn't be here telling you about these things if I wasn't concerned about you. And so there's ways that you can address issues without being confrontive, you know, or confrontational. Yeah. So Jesus said, watch and pray. We're to watch and pray. Amen. Look what he said in Matthew right up here. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. This is why we can't trust this flesh. Can I get an amen? Listen, I don't care how much Holy Ghost you got. I don't care how long you've been walking with God. We all can be tempted. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we have to have our guard up. We have to be girded up in truth, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, and know that it's not our will, but God's will be done. And so, I ask this question. What are we to watch for when we pray? What are we watching? Are we watching the birds fly by? Are we watching the wind blow? We're to watch and pray. Here's the first point right up here. The works of the flesh that keeps us from praying. We're to watch and pray. Because why? Because this flesh that we have doesn't want us to watch and pray. Oh, yes. This is why Paul said it best. Paul wrote to the Galatian church. This is our ammunition right here. Look at this in Galatians 5:24. And those who are Christ, raise your hand if you are Christ. Okay. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Did you catch that? There's some things that you have to be tough with your flesh. I don't want to watch this no more. I don't want to listen to this no more. I don't want to hang out with these folks no more. Why? Because they'll tempt you to sin. So, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Praise God. Praise God. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. I affirm by boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What does he do?
Daily.
I what?
Die
I die daily. You know what that means? Dying to yourself. Dying to self. Doing things that bring you harm or endangerment, and yet you do them anyhow. Help us. We all struggle in that area. Every one of us, including me, we all struggle. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We have to learn to God, strengthen me, Lord, that I may be able to learn how to crucify this area in my life. Listen, there's areas in your life that you are so strong, but that same area that you're strong, I may be weak in. Or I may be strong in an area, and you may be weak in that area. We can't measure each other the same. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We all have our isms and schisms. And we just need God to help us work it out. Help me, God. Work it out. Number two, look at this. Are we praying the prayer of faith? Faith. I thank and praise God for Wednesday night. Because my wife and Otis Helly were here. And I had to humble myself. And I asked them to pray for me. Because I was going through something in my mind and my spirit. And the Bible says in James, look at this. Is anyone among you suffering? Let them pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let them sing songs. Is any among you sick? Let them call for the elders and let them pray over him, anointing him with the what? With oil in the name of the Lord. You see, sometimes we have to humble ourselves and say, I need prayer.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be specific. A lot of times Pastor Leo, my former pastor, used to say, he goes, okay, when I do the altar call, when people come up, you don't need to know their sin.
That's right.
All they have to say, hey, I'm struggling. Pray for me. I'm struggling in areas in my life. Just pray for me. And that's all we need to know. All right, Lord, this person's struggling. Oh, God. Now, it's different because an altar call, I've learned this. It's not a place to be counseled. You need counseling, you make an appointment with an elder or with a pastor in private time. But when in an altar, you just come up there and just pray and watch God do the miraculous. Amen?
Amen.
Look at this. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And if he has committed sins, he will be what?
Forgiven.
So there are some things, sometimes you just have to confess them to God. Say, God, I'm struggling here, God. Help me, God. And let me just say this. I don't care how seasoned a Christian is, they can fall in traps too. But you know what? Praise God. He made a way of escape for us. He's not going to allow us to stay and wallow in the mire. He will come and rescue us. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Now, as a watchman, can we this? Look at this in point number 3. Are we praying according to the will of God? Or am I praying to the will of feet? Are we praying to the will of God? It's got to be the way he is leading us. And first and foremost, it lines up with his word. God will never do anything that opposes his word. It lines up with God's word. If it doesn't line up with his word, that's not a God. That's probably your own mind. Or maybe somebody else's opinion sharing this with you. But look what 1 John 5 says. Look at this. Now this is the confidence that we have in him. Capital H, him. God. That if we ask anything according to his what?
Will.
His will. Oh, that's when he hears us. See, if it's lined up to his will, he'll hear us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So let me just say this. If we have the confidence, like it says here, and if we ask anything according to the will of God, his ears are wide open. Yes, son. Yes, daughter. Yes. And God answers in his time. Can I get amen?
Amen.
God will answer you. God will sustain you. But Paul came back to the Philippian church and he told these group of believers, hey, slow your roll. Just slow your roll. Slow down. He said it like this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. That's the key right there. You know, we want it now. That's why mankind made a microwave. Because they want their food now. I want it hot now. They can't put it on a stove and just let it cook and just, you know, let it saturate for a while and let everything blend together. They can't. You ever put popcorn in a microwave? Let it cool off in 5 minutes. It'll be like chewing on a rubber tennis shoe. I don't know, but I don't like to put too many things in there. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be thankful about situations in your life. You know what? When the good, the bad, and the ugly come your way, can we still be thankful for all three? says, be thankful in all things. Paul said it best. He said it that he glories in afflictions. Remember we read that Wednesday night? He glories in affliction. Wait a minute. You mean you like pain and suffering? He goes, no, but when I go through it, I give God all the glory. Because he allowed me to go through. Because he's the one that allows us to go through, and then he's the one that delivers. Can I get an amen? That's what I love about God. Another thing is this. Look at this. Are we mindful of those in need around us? Or do we just walk by? Do we just, ignore? Listen, there are people that are hurting. One of the things I've learned is, especially with the body of Christ, if there's someone that's ill, can you take the time out of your day to go be with them and pray for them and make their day? That little 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, that goes a million miles. It goes a million miles if you take the time out and just share the love of God with them. Because that's the God we serve. Listen, if he came down to die a horrible death for you and I, could we in return show people God's love? Man, he did so much for me. I want to do this. I want to help somebody. I want to bless somebody. That should be our mindset. Are we mindful of those in need around us? Look at this in Psalms 8, 3 through 5. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? You ever ask yourself that? God, why did you create me? This world, we know it's sinful. And we know in our flesh there's no good thing. But you ever ask God, why are you so mindful of me? Well, King David wrote that. And the Son of Man, that you visit him. For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. Let me just say this. Not only is God mindful of you, he's madly in love with you. God is madly in love with you. And his children, he watches over like a mother hen and her little chicks. Her little chicklings. You know how she walks around and they follow her and they're always with her. She's always watching out for them. Well, God watches out for us no differently because he loves us. And so one of the things as a watchman, as a believer, we are to ask God for supernatural strength, because one of the things that I see sometimes take place, even in my life, is we grow weary. You ever gone weary? We're like, oh, huh? Woe is me. Well, we're exhorted in Galatians where it says this. Look at this. And let us not grow weary while doing good. Listen, if you're serving the Lord, don't grow weary. You know why? Because it's going to be a better day. And not so much for you, but the person that you just ministered to. Because you're doing good to someone. When you do good to someone, don't grow weary in that. Because you made that person's day. And they're going to think about you. They're going to think about, wow, this brother, this sister took the time out to share their time with me and told me how much God loves me. That's what we're supposed to do. Amen? So let us not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. You know what that means? Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Don't stop walking. Don't stop being a Christ believer. Don't lose heart. Why? Because we're going to reap everything that we sown. Listen, you're not looking for any reward. Can I get an amen? Don't look. No. You're doing it for Christ. And if blessings come to you, it's only God. But never go in there thinking you owe something to, you know, oh, you owe me. No. We do it unto the Lord because we love God. Amen? Look at this. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. There it is right there. Us believers. And people that we know that are going through. How many people can you honestly say in your life right now they're going through something serious? Yeah. Our dear friends that are not here with us, and if it wasn't for his condition, he would be here. And that's Geronimo. Vicky and Geronimo. I miss them. Why? He's battling with cancer. And the pain he shared with me the other day that he's experiencing. It's tough. You know, this life sometimes can be very tough. But on the flip side to that, there is a whole lot of hope. And that hope is in Christ. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Yes. Jesus. Jesus will not leave us in that condition for eternity. He's prepared a new body for us. Amen. And I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to be in it. Can I get amen?
Amen. That's right.
Amen. So look at this. Number 5 up here. Do we lift our eyes and see the ripened harvest field around us? You know, there's a harvest field right now. There are so many people that are hungering for God. And all you have to do is take the time out to share it with them. Tell them, do not be timid. Do not be bashful. I know none of us in here are ashamed because we love God. But sometimes we need to not be timid and speak the things of God. I remember what Brother Felipe said to me. He goes, when he learned and called to the pulpit ministry, he would say, I wouldn't look at no one's faces. He goes, I will just scan, but I wouldn't look eye to eye with someone. He goes, because they may give you a little, maybe a funny look, and that's not what even they're thinking, but you're thinking something. And they'll throw you off. So just scan the place. I said, don't worry, brother. I won't do that. But when you come, I'll look right at you. I got him on that one. He goes, preach. You see, said. I believe the reason Jesus said to look on the fields and pray was so that he could say to us, right here, found in the book of Mark, look at this. Mark 13, take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to what? To watch. Look at verse 35. So he says, watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to you all, watch. So what are we watching? His coming, his return. We're looking, saying, God, you could come today. God, you could come any moment. So what does that signify to us? To keep your guard up. To keep your mind focused on what he's called you to do. to keep loving, to keep serving, to keep praying, living that holy and sanctified life. Is it going to be perfect? No. But we can strive for perfection. Amen? We can lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us and press toward to the prize in Christ Jesus. How many can't wait for that prize? Man, I'm telling you, it's an eternal prize. Thank you, God. Look at this. I found this in Luke 10. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face and at every city and every place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his," what? Harvest. This is what we pray for. Oh God, send me, God. Oh God, use me, God. Oh God, I want to be used by you in these last days. That's why I'm always praying. I'm always praying, God, bring another person. We can baptize him and get filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm always praying, oh God, someone that sowed into someone's life and now they want to give their heart and watch them get filled with God's Spirit. We've seen so many miracles in that jacuzzi. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Who knows? You ever heard of D.L. Moody? You know who he is? He's an old-time preacher. Here's one of his quotes. "Excuses are the cradle that Satan rocks men off to sleep in." Did you catch that? Excuses. "Oh, I'm too busy. I'm sorry. Oh, maybe tomorrow. You know what? Let me call up another prayer warrior. Maybe they'll go and pray." We always find excuses. We can't go ourselves. And that's the cradle that we get rocked to sleep. Wow. I thought I'd put that up there. Look at number 7. We need to watch our desires. Sometimes our desires are good. Here's what the Bible says. "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of" what? "Of your heart." So there's nothing wrong with desiring something of the Lord. But sometimes we can desire things that are not good for us. This is what we have to be careful. Can I get an amen? Why? Why did Paul, Peter, Timothy, and all these Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, why did they exhort us in certain mannerism and certain behaviors? You know why? Because the Holy Spirit showed them how capable mankind can fall into fallacy, meaning how we can go to the other side of God's grace and find ourselves doing things that we shouldn't do. So they always exhort it. And you're not going to find this in books. You're only going to find it in the Scripture. Why? Because the Holy Spirit knows what we're made of. God knows that we're sinful and that we need to be reminded of what we are made of. It reminds us. So in Peter, remember Peter? He was the scaredy cat. He ran from Jesus, denied him 3 times, right? Well, later on, when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, man, he became a mighty man. He became a warrior for God. And God gave him this revelation. Look at this in 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. "Therefore, laying aside," meaning, put that stuff down. Don't carry this stuff. What is it? "All malice, all guile, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. As newborn babes," especially the new Christians, "as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, if we have been filled with the Holy Spirit, then guess what? That stuff on the top, we need to lay aside. Can I get amen? We shouldn't be speaking evil of nobody. You ever try to get somebody on your side? Hey, come here. And that person don't even know that they're being talked about. And then the next thing you know, everyone got wind of this one person you were talking about. Then the person walks in and everyone just turns around and looks. That's evil speaking. If there's anything that we need to speak about anyone, it's to lift them up. God strengthen them. God help them. God bless them. God heal them. God nurture them. God save them. But never belittle them and tear them down. Because if we start tearing down people with our tongue, guess what? God will tear us down. There'll be a pushback from heaven. Wow. Help us, Jesus. Saints, to learn the desire of the Word of God, God watches over His Word. Did you know God watches over His Word? He watches over His Word. Oh, yes, He does. Look what He told Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1:11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I'm ready to perform my what?
My word.
God's word is alive. Look, we have to understand and know the word of God. Look what King David wrote in Psalms 119. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to what?
My path.
If you're following a path, follow the light of the Lord, the light of the Word of God. He will not steer you wrong. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Joshua, I was showing Yolanda the other day. How many remember, this was when I was like, okay, I'm 60, I'm going to be 66. So I was about 9 years old. So this is way back. But how many remember it came on television on a Friday night? It was called the Time Tunnel. Remember the Time Tunnel?
Tony.
Yeah. And his friend. They went in the tunnel, and they would always go back to a different era of time.
Yes.
So I showed her, I found it. I showed her my favorite segment is when they went back in time and they landed in Israel during the time of Joshua when they were ready to tear down the walls in Jericho. And what we saw back then, they were not afraid to speak the word of God on a television network. Oh yeah, they were quoting scripture left and right. And it was like, wow, look at this. I was a kid and I didn't know the things of God. But looking back to it, I go, oh my gosh. You won't find that today.
No.
Commercials you'll see is two men in a tub.
Yeah.
Yeah. Help us, God.
Tony and Doug.
Tony and Doug. Yes. What I loved about, what I loved about this segment, they were captured by the Amalekites in Jericho, and they were trying to get them out, you know, through their electronics to get them out.
Yes.
And this one scientist, she was an unbeliever. She goes, I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe that all happened. And then the admiral and the other scientists could say, you have to believe by faith. You have to believe by faith that this happened. She goes, oh no, it didn't happen. And so when it happened, she was like, Oh my gosh. Because they marched around Jericho seven times. And when they marched around, then they blew the shofars. And then they put the shofars down. Then they shouted with a loud voice, "Wah!" And the walls came down. And that scientist, like, it was a great segment.
Tony and Doug.
But look what Joshua, this is what why I thought of Joshua. In Joshua 1 and 8. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall" what? "Meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Listen, if you do it God's way, God will prosper you. God will bless you. Oh, yes. Are you struggling, especially in the finance area? You struggling? You can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. I got to share this because Angel was a witness to this. We were at Temple Beth Shalom. And we're going, man, I told him, I go, "You know what, brother? I don't know if we're going to be able to pick up this month's rent." He goes, "Well, pray, man." Because Brother Angel would help me set up that whole stage. Every Saturday, we'd go in there. We had to move that big old giant thing out of the way, that rabbit, that key, yeah. What was it called?
Kiosk.
Yeah.
A religious thing.
Yeah, it was a religious. The religious. So we were there setting up, and I said, you know, and then we were just encouraging each other. Just, you know, trust God. Well, we'll trust God. So we're almost done, and I went into the small little office, and they got little mail slots in there, and they put one in there for Pastor Fee. And so there was a letter in there. So I went back there and I pulled out the letter. I opened it up and there was a note. And it said, "Ministry can be tough at times, but trust in the Lord with all your heart." And then it was attached to a check for $5,000.
I witness it.
Oh, yeah. It was like, what? You know what? God saw our faithfulness. He saw us laboring and not expecting anything back from it. That we were there preparing the place for the saints. And he goes, "Oh, no. You're not going to fold up. Here. Take this. This will sustain you for another 3 months.
Yes. Oh, it was crazy.
We went through, brother. But God is faithful. How many believe God is faithful? Amen. God is faithful. Come on. Give God, come on. Just take time out and say, God is faithful. You know why? Because King David understood this. Look at this. He wrote this in Psalm 31. "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me." This should be our song that we sing every morning when we wake up. "In you, Lord, I put my trust. I will never be ashamed of you." Hallelujah. And listen, when you start asking God for divine appointments, He will bring people your path so that you can share. But you got to ask Him. Say, "God, I'm ready. Use me, God. This somehow, some way, bring someone my way today that I can share the Lord, the love of God." And guess what? He'll do that. He's faithful. Look at this. We must watch and desire God's direction for our lives. watch and desire God's direction. Look at Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Aren't you so blessed? He directs our steps. Can I get an amen? And well, we can devise all kinds of things. Back in the day, you wouldn't see me at a church at this time. I'd be there with my friends, man, getting kegs, getting ready for the football day all day long, getting twisted. God had another plan, didn't he? God had a mighty plan. Thank you, God, for delivering me from that world.
Amen. Amen.
And when our team lost, I went into a depression for a week. Yeah, because that was our idol. That was our God.
Yes, it was.
And our God failed us. All the time. All the time back there. I got somebody way back there in the cheap seats over there.
Yeah, all the time.
And it still does.
Yeah. Look what I found in 1 John 4. Look at this, 1 John 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into what? Into the world. Look at verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God.
Antichrist.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. And there are many that are here. You see, my friends, once we start walking according to God's will, Paul tells us how to walk in good works. Amen? Why? Because Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, for we are his workmanship. Did you know God made you a workman? We are his workmanship. And so we are the result of what he has created in us. Created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So in other words, before we were even called, he already had a plan already for us. Isn't that something? He had a plan in place. And the moment we got saved, boom, it went right into course. Thank you, God. It's time to walk worthy of our calling. Worthy of our calling. Never be ashamed, because look what Paul wrote right here. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk what? Worthy of the calling with you, what you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, patience, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the what? In the bond of peace. Let me tell you, we are to walk lowly. We can't be boastful and prideful. Can I get amen? When we're asked to come and minister to a soul, come in there humbly.
Right.
And guess what? Learn to be their friend. You're not there, oh, I'm Minister so-and-so, I'll come here to pray for you. No. Become their friend. You know why? Because you'll gain their trust. And they'll want you to come back and minister to them. Can I get an amen? That's how it works. That's how it's always going to work. Because then God will give you the Spirit and the bond of peace. To follow Christ is to walk with Him first into the presence of the Father. Be in His presence. Can I get amen? If that is so, we had better know how to act in the divine presence now. Because He's with us now. Can I get amen? Learn to walk in the divine presence. Did you know that there are people that have never been in the presence of God? You try to tell them about the presence of God, they don't have a clue what you're talking about. They think you fell off in funny land somewhere. Okay, so we're coming in for a close. We're not to walk as unbelievers walk. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Look what Paul wrote here in verse 17 of Ephesians 4. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer, say that with me, no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of a hardening of their heart, who being past feeling have been given themselves over to lewdness, to the work of all uncleanness with greediness. Let me just ask this, because every one of us still have friends and family that are not saved. And a lot of them are walking like this in the futility of their mind. A lot of them, their hearts are hardened toward God. A lot of them, man, will start drinking and they'll say, bleepity, bleepity, bleep, and then Jesus Christ will come out of that mouth. It's almost like nails on a chalkboard. That's how they hurt my ears. Yes. Well, what is he saying to us? We're not to walk with them like that. I know it's tough. But guess what? You'll find better friends in the faith than you'll find them in the world. Because they don't know how to pray for you. Ask yourself this. Go to someone you know that don't walk with God at all and ask them to pray for you. Huh? What? You won't go to them. Because they don't know how to pray, right? Jesus, help us. Help us, God. Look at this. Number 10. We are to walk in what? In love. Walk in love. You ever seen... Do you know who Rich Little is? He's an impressionist. You know what an impressionist is, right? They can look at someone and speak just like them. Walk and talk like them. So Rich Little can do all the famous movie stars. He could be John Wayne. He could be Ronald Reagan. And it's like you're watching that person speak through them. Okay, that's an impressionist, right? Right. Well, did you know that God wants to be like that? But to who? Who are we to imitate? Because that's all it is. They're imitating someone. Right? You know God's word says that we are to imitate like that? It's right up here in Scripture. Look at this. Therefore, be imitators of God. There it is right there. As dear children. So what are we to imitate? Walk in love. As Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Did you know when you're walking in love, people can smell the sweetness of God flowing out of you? Because you're coming with a sincere heart. You're coming with a pure heart of love. You're coming with the love of Christ in you. You're not there for your own agenda. You're not there like, and keep watching your clock. Am I done here yet? Lord, help us. But look at this. For a sweet smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you for the fitting of saints. In other words, be holy. You know, I'm not going to put no one up here on blast. I won't do that. But I've counseled many couples to do premarital classes. And I am so mighty thankful that the majority of them took heed to this. Don't let fornication be known among you. And they patiently waited for the day to come. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It'd be no different than, you know, when you were a kid and you had one of the biggest presents under the tree. And you, it was driving you nuts. What's in there? What's in there? You don't want to wait till everyone goes to bed and take a sneak peek. You wait for the day, right?
That's right.
You wait for the day. But don't let this be even among you. Then he goes on to say this. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather given of thanks. In other words, don't hang around with folks and all they want to do is the bleepity bleep words. Filthiness coming out of their mouth. They live with their boyfriend, their girlfriend. They don't care. And they don't care about you. You could be walking like, you know, like a saint of God, which we are. And they don't care that God has done this for you. They have no consciousness of this. They're going to remain filthy until God gets a hold of their heart. Nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather given of thanks. For this you know, that no, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Wow, you know what that means? That person's not going to heaven.
No, that's what that means.
Mm-hmm. No inheritance. So saints, the world. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You ever ask God, God, can I do it all over again? Can I be a child again? But know the things I know now.
That's asking a whole lot.
Amen. Amen. And so we know that the world, as we come in for a close, we know that the world has their own way of walking on this earth, don't we? But God exposes them. Why does he expose them? Why does God show us this? So that we can be cautious in our life. So that we can be aware of what he calls good and what he calls evil.
Yeah.
I want to know how God feels about things in life, right? Yeah. Because I don't want to get involved in things that he's calling evil.
Right?
Right? Then I'm going to refrain from it. Because whatever offends him will... we should be offended by it too, right? And so this is why Romans, I love, how many love the book of Romans? Yes. And for four more years right now, we're gonna hopefully see things change a little bit, especially with commercials. But the world has its own way of walking. And Paul wrote it in Romans here. Look at this. In Romans. Oh, let me just finish off this scripture. Let no one, in Ephesians. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not what?
Partakers with them.
See, I wanted God's word to speak to you. Because I could tell you, hey man, you shouldn't hang out with them. They're going to affect you. Then you're going to say, well, Pastor Feason, I can't be with you guys no more.
No, let God speak to you.
Let God speak to you. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Right? I'm only going to point you to what God said. I'm just a mailman delivering the mail this morning. Can I get an amen? Yeah, man, don't throw tomatoes up here. I'm glad God said it, right? Amen. Amen. But this world has its own mindset. And look at this in Romans 1:27. Look, oh, number 11. We are to know what? We are to walk as children of the light. How many believe that? How many believe that we need to walk as children of the light? Look at this. For you were once darkness. That's right. We were once unsaved, right? But now you are the light of the world. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship, here we go, with unfruitful works of darkness. But rather expose them. Whoa. Expose them, man. You know what? If you don't say nothing, they're gonna die in their sin. But rather expose them. Wow. Look at this. For it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is what?
Light.
Praise God. Praise God. Now, we need to walk in His wisdom and not allow the wisdom of the world entrap us. I know this is tough. For some of us, we can go, okay, God, I'm going to do my best to honor you. And then there's some who may be listening on Facebook and YouTube and say, man, this preacher is too hard. And they probably already turned me off. And those are those seeker-friendly people that go to seeker-friendly churches. They won't talk about truth. Help us, God. Help us, God. Look at this. In Ephesians 5:15, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Meaning, now that we're saved, use the time that God has given us. Redeem that time now. Yeah. Redeem it for His purpose, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Now I'm coming to the place where we look at the ways of the world. And this is where God said, I have delivered you from this. When I read this, I look at it like, man, God. When I was putting this study together and I was putting the scriptures, I was putting my head down, I was saying, God, thank you. Thank you for delivering a wretch like me. Thank you for pulling me out of the muck and mire. Thank you for not allowing me to die in a ditch.
To die in my sin.
Because this is the world today in Romans. Look at this. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. Look at verse 2. And even as they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, meaning a reprobate mind, meaning someone that cannot come back to Him no more. He's given them over to their lust. And He won't allow them to come back. Why? Because they have profaned the name of God. Many have cursed God with their whole ugly being, using words that I will never convey over this pulpit. But they have so much hate for God. You think people hated Trump? They hate God even more. Look at this. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. You know, I go back to this one right up here. Where is it at? Evil-mindedness. You see that? Fact check me on this. They came up with a pill for women that are carrying. You just got to take the pill. And the first thing it does, it burns up and it stops the heart of the baby. And then it'll bust the bag, no matter where they're at. And it'll just slip, it'll come out in clumps. Because that's what this medicine will do. That's evil-mindedness. It's wicked. It's from Satan himself, who hates life. You know, the devil hates life. This was a battle in this election because one wanted to continue to kill babies in the womb. They're appalled that they can't.
And murder falls into that too. Evil-mindedness.
They're appalled.
All of that falls.
Help us, Jesus. Look at this. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. You know, we had a little debate a couple of Tuesday nights ago in our men's here. And I went on record, really? I went on record. Pastor Art was my witness. I won't put on blast who I was debating with, but what I went on record, I said Trump is going to win this thing by a landslide. Didn't I say that? And he did. Why? Because people are fat up. It only takes common sense. You know what? Even animals will figure this out. Chikuru would understand that. How can you not understand that? Enough was enough. Yes. No more he, them, they, though. Yo.
Yeah.
They.
Come on,
Pastor. Come on.
That's right.
That's right. Saints, God called you and I to be the watchman on the wall. Amen. And to shout aloud the soon coming of the Messiah. And I'm going to close in Ezekiel. We open in Ezekiel, and we're going to close in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33, 1 through 9. Look at this. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take, look at this, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard, look at this, he heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his what? Save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's what?
Hand.
Nevertheless, verse 7. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. And when I say to the wicked, O wicked, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at what? Your hand. Verse 9. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Wow. Thank you, God. So, I put this up here for us. Christianity is not and never has been about finding the right combination of words. It is about encountering the living and loving God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on, give God a shout. Give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Is he worthy?
He's worthy.
Come on, is he worthy?
He's worthy.
Jesus is worthy. And I truly believe, I see a whole bunch of watchmen here. Is there anybody in the West? Oh, hey, sister. Amen. Praise God. God is good. We serve a mighty God. And so, what do you say we give an invitation to those who are watching on Facebook and YouTube, an opportunity to receive Christ? Because I believe everyone here is washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Spirit of Christ. Amen? Praise God. We're saved. I like to put it like that. We're saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
But maybe, you're watching for the first, second time, never giving your heart to Christ. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, and watch God do the miraculous in your life. So if you want to receive Jesus right now, just bow your heart and your head and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.